Welcome to WHO, an empowered family advancing the Father's culture in all the earth. The following is a podcast of our Sunday gathering. For more resources or to connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.
All right, good morning. I'm going to talk to you today from the book of 1 Peter. So, did you bring a Bible? Wave at me if you brought one. Hey, look at that. There's a few of those people still left in the world. Oh. And I want to start up in chapter 1. I told Nick chapter 2, but I got to give some background here. Book of 1 Peter, start in chapter 1. And I really should start in verse 1, but I would be here for 3 hours with you, and you don't want to do that, and neither do I. So in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I love that Peter's talking here after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that there is a grace that's going to be completed at the revelation of Jesus. And I wholeheartedly believe that that revelation is actually through who we are as a people. I believe that's the revelation Peter's talking about. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. It is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address the Father as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth." That gives the idea that we have a finite period of time here. And I feel like Peter is encouraging us to be very aware that we only have so much time here and do well with it. Conduct yourselves in fear. That doesn't necessarily mean afraid. It means to be sober. It means to be awake and aware. It means to be I want to get the right word here for that word fear. It means to be understanding and to literally treat it as if you could drop it and break it at any moment. That's what it's talking about, this life that we have. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundations of the world." This one who we were redeemed by, he was foreknown before any of this existed, any of this world, any of this creation, any of the systems that currently exist. This one who we have, who we've been redeemed by his blood, he was here and known before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last days for our sake, so that through him we could become believers in God, and we would be raised from the dead, and we would give him glory, so that our faith and our hope would be in God. Can we just say that? That our faith and our hope, where are they? Where are our faith and our hope? In God. I just want to tell you, from up here, that's what that sounded like. In God. Where are your faith and your hope?
In God.
There we go. Were you a cheerleader in high school by any chance? You might have missed your calling. I love it. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls. Have you? Did you see how you purified your souls? For a sincere love of the brethren. Fervent love, fervently love one another from the heart. One of my most important verses. For you have been born again. Look at your neighbor. Look at him. They've been born again. What you see has been born again. Now, I know they look a little old, a little worn. Come on, let's be real. They don't have that nice, soft, smooth, just-born baby skin. But they have been born again. The one looking at you has been born again. Not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. And who is the Word of God?
Jesus.
Hey, that's what I like to see. We have been born again through the living and enduring person of Jesus. Then he quotes the Old Testament, all flesh is like grass. All its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Remember Hebrews 1? He spoke in former days through prophets and wise men, but in these days he has spoken through who? Jesus, the word of God. Peter presents to us. And if you look at 1 Peter and even in 2 Peter, Peter, more than almost any writer of the New Testament, gives us this idea and this paradigm, this way of thinking, that this current lifestyle, this current way of life we live in, is not the reality of a child of God's life. If you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter kind of like a story more than a text or a subject like to study. If you read it simply as a story, you hear a man, and I want to call him one of our forefathers, who wants to convince his readers that the current way, and this is 2,000 years ago that he's writing this. And here we are 2,000 years later reading, and I have to say, it's as if he's writing today. Guys, I want you to know that you were born again out of this way of life, this system of this world. He's the one that proclaims, be saved from this perverse generation in Acts. He's the one who says that this way of life and this system of thinking and everything that goes along with it in the earth, I want you to know, you were born out of that. Hello? And you were born from something that existed before any of this did. That this way of life that you were created by and for supersedes, prevails, and goes through what currently exists temporarily in the earth. Now I know for us as we sit here in 2016 in Western society, it's kind of hard to kind of, you almost need to be like sci-fi minded. Now, I don't want to get weird on you. But yeah, we could just watch The Matrix right now. But you have to realize that that's why Peter writes what he writes. Because what happens is we say yes to Jesus. We say yes to the Father who loves us. Yet we're not immediately ejected out of a life that we were living just before we said yes. And so now we're born again, as Peter says. And he's the only other one that refers to it this way other than Jesus in John chapter 3. He's the only one that talks about this idea of being born again. We're born again out of the Spirit of the Father, yet we still live in what Peter calls a perverse generation. And I want you to see that what's Peter about to do here in chapter 2 is he's about to remind us of the kingdom and the life that we live while we're in the kingdom of this world. And there's a purpose. How are we doing? Good. Chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy and all slander. All of that rises up from the sin of this world, from the system of this world. And if you're not wise, remember how he says, wise as serpent, and then we're about to see the next verse, like newborn babes, innocent as doves, right? That is a really hard lifestyle to live. Has anybody tried to find that out? I want to be wise, and I want to know the ways of God, and I want to make sure that I'm walking according to the counsel of the Spirit of God, yet I'm also to act like everything's brand new at every moment. That's what a newborn babe is like. Innocence actually means everything always new. So how do you walk that way? How do you walk wise as a serpent, but like everything's brand new? I don't have the answer for you. So you're welcome. It's one of the mysteries, right? But I know Peter says this, we have to choose to put aside malice, which literally is antagonistic thinking between one another. And then the resulting, I'm your enemy, and you're my enemy. Malice is the idea that we have enemies in this world. Hello? We put aside all deceit. We're going to be real with each other. We're not going to have walls up. We're not going to have facades up. We have to put aside. Those things are of the system of this world. There's a veneer over the system of this world that if you're not wise as a serpent, you will buy the veneer instead of the reality behind it. We have to put aside deceit and hypocrisy that says one thing and does another. We put aside envy that longs for things that others have. We put aside slander, which means we don't use this or this to malign one another. Okay. And like newborn babes, this is literally what it says. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it, you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, we got to talk about that really quick. And for those of you that have been here for a while, roll your eyes with me as I do this. But I have to talk about salvation again, because the idea of salvation isn't, oh, yes, Jesus now saves me from sin and I get to go to heaven. I need you to know that that's not biblical salvation. Salvation is the renewing of who you are to your original identity as a son or daughter of the Father, and then living His way of life in your life. That's salvation. The full restoration and finished work of Jesus in us, proclaimed to the world. That's salvation. So when He says to us here, long for the pure milk, so that by it we grow in respect to salvation. See, if salvation is just I get to go to heaven, there's no growth in that. You just wait for it to happen. You either wait for death or you wait for trumpets and all kinds of things happening and angels falling and people leaving their clothing and all that kind of stuff. But real biblical growth in salvation is I'm going to put aside these things that I've learned while I lived according to the course of this world. And I will now live according to the Spirit that dwells in me. And I will grow up into the aspects. So I have to leave things. I have to leave things that I learned in order to remember who I actually am and where I came from. That's what Peter's saying here. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord, that's where this starts. It starts with the kindness of the Lord toward us. Verse 4, and coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I just want to read that again. I want to talk about that verse, actually those two verses for a minute. Coming to him as a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but it's choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up. I want to look at these three things really quick. As a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. This is really important because he's beginning to contrast two identities. The identity of we're born in this world and we live according to the course of this world. But then he says, we've left that lifestyle. We left the ways of that lifestyle. Call it Gentile living, call it world's living, call it the system of this, whatever you want to call that. And we come to him as a living stone. And then we offer ourselves as a spiritual house. I want to build. Use me, Father. You, Stacy, use each and every one of us to be built up together as a spiritual house, a house for a purpose. And a holy priesthood. And this is what a holy priesthood does. It offers up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It reminds me of Romans chapter 11, that we're not to be conformed to this world. Remember what it says next? But be transformed how? By the renewing of our mind. Big part of salvation is the renewing of our mind. Why? Why are we renewed? So that we can test and prove the will of God. Who's the will of God? Come on, say it louder. We are the will of God. So the fullness of the growth in the work of salvation coming to him as a living stone so that we might manifest what was always meant to be manifest through human flesh. Jesus literally gives us a restart, a redo. Do you remember how you did think? And I'm going to tell you. Okay, I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to put a pin. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him, say this with me, will not be disappointed. I can promise you. Any moment of any time where we have believed in something other than him, disappointment will at some point in time result. It's part of the deal. It's the reason why he's actually saying to us, look, would you please turn away from, put aside these things, and live according to the priesthood you were meant to be. And if you do so, you will believe in him and you will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they're disobedient to the word. I know I can tell you this. When I have been disobedient to the nature and character of Jesus, I have stumbled. Anybody else? I've seen it in my own life. I have personally stumbled when I've turned aside from he who is the word in me to the system or the way of life I used to live. Verse 9. But you, I love it, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you hear this? Do you hear that if we literally abstain from the things that we've been born out of, which wage war against our soul, you know it, you felt it, I have too. And if we keep our behavior excellent among the Gentiles, how do we keep our behavior excellent? We draw from the spirit in which we've been born again from. So that in the thing which they slander us, they may, because of our good deeds when they observe them, glorify God. I actually believe that this day of visitation that Peter's talking about is when they experience the person of Jesus in us. When they see him alive and well in us, not joining in with the spirit they walk in, but literally being with them and so living according to the spirit of the Father that our life and the spirit that flows from us is like living water. No, it is living water. And doesn't just splash or spit like I am, but literally floods the life that's literally being visited by the Lord. This is the goal. The problem I see is that we have forgotten verses 9 and 10. And we have this dualistic personality. I literally think the church has a split personality. I'm being real with you. A flat out split personality. And we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday night. Is Megan here? Anyway, she talked about the bump test. Anybody ever remember that? We were talking about that? Where it, forgive me, are you here? Describe that really quick. Stand up and describe it because I think that was really cool. That's good. So the bump test occurs every day in your life. You don't even realize it's happening. Okay, we would all like to think that we start out today like brand new. Remember, his mercies are what? New every morning. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. He loves me brand new. Yesterday, yeah, I kind of blew it a couple times. But man, today's a new day. And then someone freaking bumps me. I was doing fine until I saw people. Am I wrong? And then our stuff gets shifted, and some of it falls. And I have found that is actually purposeful on the Lord's part. I don't think he actually makes things happen, but he sure doesn't let them not happen. Because I think part of it is to see what's going on. And literally to find out what spirit you are of in any given moment. And I'll tell you what, it's thorough in its testing of your bumpability. It's a new word. You're welcome. Hashtag bumpability. It's thorough in it because it wants, and I'm telling you, I think it's the Lord's choice to let these things happen to us, to see where we are. Remember the verse, examine yourself to see literally what spirit you are of. And what's going on, I believe, is as things bump us, the degree to which they affect us and then draw us in. Hello? Really begins to show us of what spirit we're of. And this is what Peter's encouraging us. But you, verse 9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. And this is why you are chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him, so that when you're bumped, what releases out of you is excellency. You're pierced, you're hit, you're punched, you're insulted, you're tempted. And what flows out of it, hey, let me show you the living hope inside of me, the pure milk of the Word from inside of me, who has called you. He's called us out of darkness. I'll tell you, this is a theme throughout Peter's writings. You are out of a thing and into a thing. But Peter, I'm still in the thing. I know you write this really cool stuff and it sounds good and everybody's like, oh, it's the Bible, but I still live in this. Am I alone? All right, I'll just do this by myself. So, because I argue with these guys. I'm like, you said I'm called out of darkness into marvelous light, but I wake up to it every day. I wake up to temptation. I wake up to slander. I wake up to malice. I wake up to all of these things toward me. And even if it's not toward me, it feels like it is. But I'm called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I was once not a people, but now I am a people. There was a time where I was not receiving mercy, but now I have received mercy. And that's why He says, I urge you, as if you are literal aliens and strangers. Don't think of it as in terms of, I'm just passing through. Don't think of it that way. Literally, an alien and a stranger simply means this life and the spirit of this world has now become so foreign to you because you have a new world. Hello? You have a new world that you live from. You have a new spirit you live of. And so you walk into a room and everybody kind of does this when you walk in. I want to tell you something. According to Peter, that's what's supposed to happen. Every single time any one of you walk into a room, walk into an environment, walk into a context, it should cause everybody to go, what just happened? And I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound judgmental. If it doesn't happen, you should begin to ask yourself, of what spirit am I of? I need to let this settle in. If God's asking me these questions and I get to preach, He's going to ask you these questions too. Because it's true. If the environments don't shift, if the attitudes don't begin to at least come to attention. Now, Jesus had people who didn't agree and didn't go His way. So I'm not saying everyone's got to change just because you walk in the room. But at least everyone's like, oh, something's different. I need you guys to hear this. You can feel it too. You can feel things come to attention when you walk in. You can feel your spirit begin to draw other spirit. Oh, I don't want to pay attention to this, but I can't help it. It's the same reason why demons jump up and say, I know who you are. You're Jesus. But here's the problem. And this is the thing I want to get to. Because we are a chosen race, and I want to go into each one of these, but I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're good. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. So now I'm over here in His light, and I'm daily drawing from the light. And I'm letting the light of who He is literally bring out the light that's on the inside of me. And that light perpetrates light. And my light calls more of His light in. Before long, I'm literally living in the culture of light and love of who is Jesus. And that time spent in Him isn't just a moment. I literally can take all of that now and go, it literally goes with me. And I go into circumstances and settings and environments that that is so opposite of the environment that it can't help. It's like if you were in the dark for 6 hours and then someone flipped on every light in the room. What happens to you? You're like, I almost feel like you're being attacked. I'm being real. This is what should happen. So much light, so much called out of darkness and into light that when you walk in, it's not like, oh yeah, Wes is here, yeah, whatever. No, it's like, Wes is here. I struggle really hard. I'm being honest with you. I wasn't honest with you before, so I'm going to be honest now. No. I'm going to be really real with you. I struggle sometimes in saying certain things to us here because I don't want it to sound judgmental. I don't want it to sound like I got it and you don't and you need to straighten up. But sometimes I just feel like I need to say some things pretty straight. And I'm about to get into a stream of thinking here that's going to affect some people's opinions and offend some people. So let me start with this, since I potentially could offend you. Let me just say this. Every time we draw from a spirit other than the Father's spirit, we begin to blend in with the current world system. And at first, if you hear about it, you're like, oh yeah, blending in is not a bad thing. You got to know what's going on. You got to be able to. And it sounds right, and it sounds good. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am not the guy that, you know, you see all the pictures of the fishy swimming one way and then the one fish swimming the other way. You know, you ever seen that before? And like, you got to be that one fish that's swimming. I actually don't agree with that. I want to be the fish that's swimming with the other fish that's literally just bright and wants everybody to come with it. I'm not about that going against the grain. But I am about being light. And I know where the light comes from. And I know where the joy and the peace and the spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy and the Holy Spirit, I know where that comes from. It comes from my Father. It comes from being born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. So I know that if I want that free-flowing in my life, I have to spend time with it. And the more time I spend with it, the more I'm full and the more I get to release it into the earth. But the more time I spend with the spirit of this world, the more I don't make change and make difference and cause people to think, what's going on over there? They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're just like us. Behold, I urge you, beloved, as strangers and aliens, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And if you keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, they'll see the good deeds and they'll glorify God in the day of visitation. This is a really strange time in America. Now, I'm only almost 47 years old. So I've only seen so many elections, and some of you here have seen more than me. But man, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not like the spirit over my country right now. At all. I don't like it at all. And this is where it's going to start sounding judgmental, and you're just going to have to weigh this with the Lord. And I really encourage you to go to the Lord with the things I'm about to say. Okay? Because I have prayerfully gone to the Lord about this. I am very disappointed in a lot of the church leaders today in how they've approached this election and how they've approached particular candidates in this election. Personally, this is Mark speaking, his opinion, that this election and the spirit that has come along with it has so distracted the church from who she really is. And it has caused her to take sides and become one or the other. The church was never meant to be on one side or the other. That is it's a fallacy that we have bought into, specifically as the American church, because I can't speak for other countries. But somewhere along the line, we have fallen into this idea that because I'm Christian, then I have to be on one side of the aisle politically. It's wrong. And that is sourced from the spirit of this world. And my friends and people I love and people I honor and people I respect have fallen captive to a spirit that's not of my Father. And it hurts my heart. Now I have the microphone today, so I get to do this. But if any one of you could share your heart too. I'm very concerned that we've forgotten that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I think we've forgotten that identity and we've taken a side and we haven't realized that we're seated in heavenly places. And the one who has seated us there is far above every rule and every authority. And every time we choose to take a stand against another, we take ourselves off of the far above every rule and authority and we put ourselves under a place you were given freely. And I'm concerned for us because we think we're fighting for righteousness. We think we're fighting for right and good. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's not about this or that. It's about the spirit of a thing. I think we've missed it as a church. I think we've forgotten that we're not of this world, but we're in it. I don't see my Jesus saying and doing the things that so many of us are saying and doing. And I believe what we've literally neutered ourselves. If I can say it even more clearly, we've castrated ourselves. And our potency as the kingdom of God that is a small stone in Daniel that eventually grows and grows and grows until it fills the whole earth, has subjugated itself to a spirit of politics or a spirit of malice or a spirit of lust. And the words of Peter cry not from a grave or from heaven, but from the inside of us. You were brought out of darkness and into marvelous light. And you become of no effect when you choose a side in darkness. There is no side in darkness. It's just dark. But light sees clearly. And I want to encourage you. I know we've only got, 2 days, right? 48 hours. And I know I only get to talk to however many people are here and the 7 that listen on the internet. But I do this every time we have an election. I'd like to at least talk for a few minutes about what we should be doing. And I have never seen this level of perversion. I think it's flat out perversion. I see people I love tearing one another apart over stupidity, out of darkness. And we don't even realize it. What are we going to do on Wednesday? After all of the... Oh, I want to swear. I want to use bad words. Out of all of the crap that we have been slinging back and forth, trying to convince someone or trying to get someone to see, and all we're doing every time we get someone to see is causing more blindness. What are we going to do on Wednesday? What are we going to do in a month? What are we going to do in January when they're inaugurated? Is that ready? Is that inaugurated? Yeah. Because my fear is if you weren't praying for them now, now suddenly you're going to start praying for them? The one you were maligning 48 hours ago, now you're going to start praying because you're a Christian, you need to pray for those in authority? That's hypocrisy. submit yourselves. That's the next verse. I didn't even realize it until I opened this up this morning and read the next verses. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. I'm not even going to go on there. I did that in Bible study. You can read that sometime. I'm going to ask you, as your friend, as your brother, whoever the heck else I am to you, I'm going to ask you for the next 48 hours before, and I know some of you already voted because you couldn't vote on Tuesday. For the next 48 hours, would you choose to submit yourselves to the Lord and put yourself not in any political affiliation? I don't care what you're registered. I want to tell you something. I know this is going to sound really strange to you. You are not Republican because you're Christian. And you are not Democrat because you're an atheist. The Lord has no affiliation. In fact, I'm even going to go a step further. The Lord is not American. Yeah. I think we've forgotten some of these things. And I'm going to tell you something. Patriotism and for God and country and all that kind of stuff, I get it, but I'm going to tell you what, it smacks of darkness. And in the name of patriotism, we have acted like idiots and then said the Lord validates it. So, let's do this together. If you haven't already started doing this, let's do it together. For the next 48 hours, we're going to take literally our place in the heavenlies. And we're not going to join with the nations that rage, Psalm 2. Literally, it says the Lord laughs as the nations rage. Go read Psalm 2. Go see how there is no side but the side of the Lord. It's a theme throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. Look, I don't know. I'm not for either side. I'm actually for the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what. That sounds ridiculous in our current political climate. But it scares me when I see people I look up to and honor as leaders in the church and Christian community literally defacing, I'm going to actually say it, showing malice to one party and one party's candidate and speaking so flowerily of another one that doesn't deserve it. So I invite you to come with me into that place. And really, you're already there. Just don't be asleep at the wheel. Seriously. I believe there's a slumbering church sitting in heavenly places. And she needs to awaken and see that it's not about who becomes president in 2017. Do I think it's important? Sure I do. But the kingdom is of greater consequence than this election. And you literally put it at risk. You do. You put it at risk when you subjugate it to a certain candidate or a certain party or a certain agenda item. It's bigger than that. And I ask you to consider literally raising yourself up out of a party's affiliation, out of what the next WikiLeaks or what's coming across the platform. Just put it all aside. Rise up to a place of the Father's nature and character and say, Dad, show me what you see. I want to live according to the light that I have been called into. And I want to literally be light to the darkness I've been called out of. I don't want to join forces with darkness. I want to bring light to it. I want to live of your spirit. And I want your spirit to invade the spirit of this world. Because you promised that the kingdoms of this world would become yours. And I want to be a part of that. So, Dad, give me your vision. Give me your perspective. I ask for your forgiveness for how I have seen. I've seen this way, and now it's time to see this way. I want to see from 30,000 feet, not the weeds. And I want to have ears that hear your voice, not the voice of the loudest critic. For we are a chosen race. We're of a race and of a bloodline that's not of this world. So forgive us, Lord, when we have lived according to the course of it. We are a royal priesthood. My royalty doesn't come from my allegiance to an earthly king. My royalty comes from who the King of Kings is. And I'm a priest who daily offers spiritual sacrifices unto you. Forgive me when my sacrifices have not been spiritual, but they've been carnal and worldly. And I am a holy nation. Before I was ever an American, I was your son. And that son is a part of a kingdom. And this nation, this kingdom, has a king, and his name is Jesus. And regardless of who ends up there, and regardless of who sits on the throne of a nation I live in, and regardless of who they put around them, and regardless of who they put on a Supreme Court, I will give my heart to the King of Kings. And my authority from that throne will have greater authority in this nation than my ability to criticize the current. I'm of your own choosing. I'm a people of your own possession. Father, forgive me where I have acted as if I'm possessed by another. When I've given my life over to spirits and convincing arguments, lies and deceit, forgive me, Lord, for being caught up and literally possessed by something other than your love for me. I choose to walk as a beloved son or daughter in this earth, in this time. It's needed more than ever. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Forgive us for all the times that we have broken fellowship, where we've had malice and hatred toward our brother or our sister. Please forgive us so that our own trespasses might be forgiven and not held against us. And Daddy, I ask you, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. Deliver us literally out of evil. Bring us out of it. Awaken our spirits from death to life. And may it not be that one who has been resurrected into their identity as a son or daughter ever again associate itself from what it's come from, what it's been saved from, redeemed from. I've been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. So deliver me from evil. For yours, not Trump, not Clinton, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Forever. And we trust you. We say right now, Lord God, we trust you. We trust you. I will not try to live according to another spirit because of my lack of trust anymore. I trust you. I trust you. Say it with me, please. I trust you. We trust you, Father. We trust you with our country. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our future. We trust you with our finances. We trust you with our health insurance. We trust you with our retirement. We trust you with our taxes. We trust you. I know it hurts to even say those things right now because it causes all kinds of other things to rise up. But every time one of those paradigms try to come in and creep in from this world, just say, I trust you. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. And that kingdom will overtake every other kingdom. And it won't happen through an election. It will happen through my heart. Let it be so, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Vote well, live better.
Thanks for being with us as we encounter and reveal the person of Jesus. To connect with us, visit whocenterpa.com.